Jimmy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good, Jason. I'm excited. It's a Sunday game that makes me kind of thinking about the NFL and how your Dolphins are going to need to make a splash here because everyone in the East is getting better and you guys are staying the same.
So. Well, they're going to overpay Ndamukong Suh. That's my guess.
I don't know if they need help on that side of the ball.
I know. That's the problem. Yeah, I'm not happy about that decision. Trust me. I would. One day they'll realize that having a big receiver in today's pass-happy NFL is pretty much a necessity.
I know, and their former guy, didn't he just end up in the Jets there? Or?
Yes, Brandon Marshall is now a member of the Jets.
Oh, so, see, there you go.
I'm not. Brandon Marshall's pretty good. I'm not sure he's a guy that you build a winner with, but that's just me.
He's on the other way of his career. I agree with you. So.
Speaking on the other way of health, Chris Corbeil, is he going to be available for you out the back eight on Sunday?
We're hoping. The signs are looking good. He's obviously going to give it a good go on Saturday with our afternoon practice there, and then we'll probably have the decision from there. But I spoke to him midweek, and he had indicated that his plan was to play. So we're hoping that we'll have him because he's a big part to our defense.
I know Derek Keenan really allows you to run the back gate and Jeff McComb to run the front gate. I guess let's start with what didn't you like about your defensive sets against Toronto, giving up 16 goals?
Well, it was one of those games. I mean, credit Toronto. They kept the ball hot. They stayed real wide spread on offense and made it difficult for us to establish any pressure. But I think what I found the most disappointing was that we at times just deviated away from the system and the game plan, and I think we're guilty of trying to make too many things happen and started getting out of character with trying to force plays or double when we shouldn't double or, you know, slide off the crease when that's one of the principles we talk about never doing. And, you know, I think it was because we couldn't get any pressure. We didn't do a good job denying swing passes. They did a good job stretching the floor. And I think really at the end of the day, we just weren't patient in the system. So, I think really what we need to do is just need to get back to trusting each other and trusting the system, and we know how good we can be.
With the Calgary offense, it's pretty obvious right now. Evans and Dixon on the, you know, their right side, which means you know, Corbeil's, I think, return maybe even a little bit more imperative, just because the ball really stays on that side of the floor.
Yeah, those are kind of the two guys right now, especially with Dobie being suspended. Obviously, they've got. Some capable shooters on the right side of the floor and left-handed players and Daryl Veltman and Jeff Shatler, but their offense is going through Evans and Dixon and they're playing real well right now. So I think if you look statistically, they had 7 of the 11 goals last weekend. And I think the weekend before, I think they had 11 of 16. So they're very capable players. They're difficult matchups. And I think what makes those two so hard to defend is that they are both excellent one-on-one guys, and they'll move Dixon around or move Evans around where they start to kind of create some mismatches in your defense. And if you start to slide earlier, you don't trust that your teammate can do a job, all of a sudden they'll find themselves open on the crease or down low, and that's just too easy for them. So it's crucial that we do a good job, and I think if we can deny them getting the ball early in clocks, then obviously we can start to use the shot clock to our advantage.
If Corbeil can't go, would you move Midtsky or Rubish over to that side in a few sets?
We've talked about it. The other guy that we're really comfortable moving around because his feet are so good is Ryan Dilks. He's a guy who matches up well with a Sean Evans because they're both, you know, not overly huge in stature and they got good feet. So that's kind of one of the matchups we like. And then obviously with Dixon, obviously moving a guy like Rubish or Midtsky over just size-wise, it definitely helps. But you know, having Cornwall for the entire game this weekend hopefully will help us because he's another guy who seems to do a good job on big bodies like Dixon.
Jimmy Quinlan, assistant coach of the Rush, joins us. Jimmy, your transition game against Calgary, what do you have to be leery of on their transition outside of face-offs, of course, with Snyder?
Well, I mean, again, they're a team that, you know, they've played better the last few weeks, and it's really started with their transition. They've been pushing the ball a lot harder, and they're probably one of the best teams at using the gate to an advantage and springing their offense, their offensive players for easy looks. So our focus is always the first guy off the bench has got to go straight to their old gate, and if we're going to let anyone shoot, we want to let the defender shoot. So we were good at times in the first matchup against them, and then all of a sudden fell asleep for for about 2 minutes in the second quarter down in Calgary, and they scored two back-to-back goals. I kind of brought them right back into the game. So for us, it's more attention to detail and making sure that we get our personnel on the floor in the order we want so that we can get players on players and then go from there.
On your back end, talk about Sorgetti and kind of his evolution now as a player. What's he brought to you filling in for guys who are injured?
Oh, he's brought a lot. I mean, first off, he's one of those guys who's very versatile. He can play out the O gate. He's excellent on faceoffs. Does a good job for us in transition. But his biggest learning curve, obviously, has been in the defense, and it was just one of those things where he needed to play. So he's been given his chance, and he's earned the right to stay in the lineup. So he's one of the guys we're very happy with, and it seems the more and more he gets comfortable with the system, you know, the better he gets. And I think that's obviously attributed to the work he does away from the game in terms of his fitness and his improving his foot speed and his footwork. So he's a very strong kid, great athletic ability, and he's one of those guys who's kind of been used to being played in multiple roles, because when he played in college, he actually played every position on the field, which is very rare. So he's one of those guys that were comfortable in all situations, and he's done a great job playing within the system and knowing when to double, knowing when to, you know, force guys high or force guys low, and he continues to get better.
Overall, you know, he has also got kind of some size and a little bit of aggressiveness. Your team need that at times?
Oh, for sure. He's one of those guys. He's quiet about it, but he loves the dirty stuff. He likes to stir the pot, and he does add in a little bit of an edge that sometimes we lack. So, I mean, I think back to the game in against Toronto last weekend in overtime. They had Sorensen coming down on a breakaway, who's about 6'6", 230, and Sorchetti was our first guy off the bench, and met him head-on, and both of them fell to the ground. So he's one of those guys who enjoys the contact and the physical side of the game. And then I'm always a fan of the guy who's not afraid to yap once in a while, and he's pretty good at it. So I enjoy that. So, yeah, he does bring a good element to us in terms of, you know, when you're flat or you need a little bit of a spark, he's one of those guys who can provide it.
At the start of the year, Derek Keenan said he wanted the defense to get better at crucial times of the game. I think in most games that's been the case. It seems that when you do have a breakdown, it really kind of snowballs. How do you ensure that if you give up a few, that your guys can regroup and not have it just continue to bleed out through the remainder of the game like it did in that second half against Minnesota and then again against Toronto?
Well, I mean, I think the game against Toronto, we were good, actually. When we talk about being better in crucial moments, we were good for about the last 10 minutes of the game, and then overtime we really didn't allow too much. Maybe one or two quality chances were given up, which by lacrosse standards isn't bad. But, yeah, I think for us it really just comes down to getting that key stop at that key moment, or really, you know, understanding that if we do get a stop, to maybe slow the pace down. I think sometimes we kind of get ahead of ourselves in the transition game, or we get ahead of ourselves trying to make a play defensively. I think it's just getting back to the basics and understanding that goals are going to be scored. And it's just, like you said, limiting their run, and how we do that is just getting back to playing sound lacrosse and worrying about the things we can control, picking up loose balls in our end, making sure we're boxing out, making sure that, you know, we're paying attention to detail of where guys want to be on the floor and what their tendency are as players. And I think sometimes, you know, when one or two goals are scored, all of a sudden we start to think that we need to come up with something, when in reality, all we need to do is get back to the basics. And we've been good at that for the most part, except, you know, a little bit against Toronto and then that one game against Minnesota. So I think it's a spot we're improving, but at the same time, I think there's room to grow.
Well, Jimmy, good luck Sunday afternoon, 2:00 against the Roughnecks. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. You have a nice afternoon.